the next mile, the brave sight of the blind man. It's down to the left child, we will survive. It is time to put in this. Swimming through the waters of Babylon like a rebel fish. Journalist, specialist, predator and survivalist. Spitting heaven, fire from his lips. Burn the same driver.
Welcome, listeners, to time for an awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom." And with all that getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the home page, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Catch the live stream there also. You can go to OurRadioNetwork.com. Again, that's OurRadioNetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream your program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. And do me a favor before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for an Awakening Media is there, always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening Media. Interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, and share with your friends. Also, check out that Time for an Awakening marketplace and our partnership with BB Toomey. Always interesting things being put in the marketplace all the time. Different African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much, much more being taught by professors on both the continent and in the diaspora. So, again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. It's 7:08 here on a Sunday evening in the city of Philadelphia. And no guest scheduled this evening, this Sunday evening. So it'll be open for them. You'll be the guest. Anything that's on your mind, you can give us a call. We'll talk about it. And you can do that by reaching out to us by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening, and 7:13 here in the city of Philadelphia. And before we get started with our program, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide to African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot. How you doing there?
How are you, sir?
I'm not bad. I'm just enjoying the weather and always, as usual, being ready for to be stimulated, engaged, and informed with the Time for Awakening audience around, especially when we have these moments when we can freely talk in open form.
Yeah, well, you better enjoy it, Richard, while you can, because
four more weeks
you'll be wearing a jacket.
Yeah.
In fact, in your case, you'll have on some long underwear.
Hey, I know, I ain't gonna tell you. I'm sorting now.
Boy, Richard, we in that season, man, and it happens every 2-4 years where our people are in a frenzy about voting. Vote like your life depends on it. Your ancestors died for the right. You hear all the cliches. But it's never been, especially recently, any critical discussion on the value of voting since we've been here, what it has accomplished for us since we've been here, and how do we use that as a tool to move our people forward. I'm talking about a critical analysis, not all the cliches and, you know, because some of those cliches is wrong and they don't fit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just a critical discussion or open discussion for people that have been against it, that people have been for it, you know, lay the things on the table. Because this system and voting has affected people here differently. Europeans, yeah. I'm dead out of the conversation because the system has been set up for them, whether they're poor or rich Europeans. It has been set up to help them. It hasn't been set up to help black folks. So their experiences dealing with the system is totally different than any whites. And whether you're talking about the poorest of poor whites, it's totally different. And, you know, just a critical discussion on the institution as it's utilized here, you know, and how it has worked for black people.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it brings that, you know, that when you, as you were saying that, because, and I don't know anyone who would disagree that our position within this here, and I think I have to be clear in my language, the electoral process, which the voting comes out of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's the system. Voting is a tool within the electoral process to select individuals that supposedly reflect your policy and interests. And the, as you said, the uniqueness with, you know, within the African community is that the system was never intended for the body of people now called African Americans to participate. I mean, I know that they say, you know, like white women, you know, didn't have the right to vote, but even that, they were considered a part of the body politics of the founding of this country as citizens, even if they didn't have equal power and access to the electoral process. But Africans came into this differently, right? I mean, I don't know if that's a fair assessment, you know, to say it in that manner. We weren't considered as to be even a part of the body politics to select individuals as representatives of our interests for policies that relate or reflect to our particular needs as it relates to the marketplace of goods and services. I think that's fair to say. And the only way we were engaged in that process, the process is, I guess, Elliot, what comes to mind is that 3/5 clause. Right. I mean, as a part of being the voting, the numerical tool of the that voting process, the numerical number count in order to determine who would be a representative within the corporate, then become state. Right. They wanted to equalize the numbers between those northern and those southern states, and that's how we come. And if I'm not mistaken, that's where this 4-year exercise in the political structure really shows itself in relationship to that count because of the Electoral College, right? I mean, it's the Electoral College that in the end determines who the president will and will not be,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's just what ironic and interesting that in this cycle where you're saying there's a frenzy based off of that structure, that system that was primarily, you know, we are the tool, the mule that this president, that everybody within a large population. I think I heard recently that his count in his percentage count in relationship to the black populace, particularly in general, in general, went from 3% to 6%. But he won the Electoral College. He didn't win the popular vote. And black people are in this frenzy about voting because they want to get him out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just found that as an opening around this, giving a critical discussion around that, because it seems like it's two elements there, right? We were not intended to participate at all in this process for the distribution, because that's what you engage in the politics, right? You engage in the body politics in that electoral process in order to get goods to come your way to assist you in the quality of life within the general society. Don't other people do that? Don't they use?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, their access to what you're talking about is different.
But exactly. And I think that when you talk about the, you know, making, doing a critical analysis, we have, or maybe I do and some of us do, we have to put it in historical context, because the question is, well, how do we actually utilize the vote in order to be able to access it to benefit? This we also gets to be mulky, you know, murky, because in the electoral process, it seems like you're not talking about individuals just individually going in and voting. You're talking about in the body politics, it's supposed to be the we of a particular interest group. We see that the teachers union have an interest group in the body politics, and they have representatives that determine what their interests. We see that the church, the religious community have an interest group. I mean, when they vote, those individuals that vote under those banners, they're not voting as individuals to get something. They're voting as a part of a collective group, which the group actually negotiates in this marketplace to get something. That seems to be the way the process worked. But we were intentionally excluded, and we fought our way into it even to get the vote. And that, I mean, the national, but you know, like I was just looking at something, Elliot, going back to the 1800s, black people were enunciating. I was looking at this, I was reading this book, The Evangelism and the Politics of Reform in Northern Black Thought, 1776 to 1863, Rita Roberts. And it was interesting to me, to take out this snippet to, and we're supposed to be making a critical analysis, right?
Go ahead.
As about to, faced with clear evidence that the Republican doctrine would be limited to whites, Northern blacks persisted in their vision of a true republic and claims of an American identity and citizenship. In the 1796 bylaws of the African Society in Boston, The membership referred to their individual state citizenship and claimed national citizenship. They committed themselves to be true and faithful citizens of the Commonwealth in which we live, and not to admit anyone who committed a crime against the laws of this country. They were Africans. I like that. They were Africans, but fellow citizens of the United States, unaware that within a few years, New York would essentially disenfranchise Black males, Black men. Joseph Sidney explained to a New York Black audience in 1809 that America was our country, and as citizens had the responsibilities and duties. Sidney wanted New York men who met the property requirements to vote. Now, it seemed like this is 1800, right?
Yeah. You said 1809, right?
Right.
Okay.
They were, now, they thought they should be as citizens, have the right, but New York disenfranchised Black men. So Sidney had to, in this audience, had to say, our country and such citizens have responsibility. And Sidney wanted New York Black men who met the property requirements to vote, in the vote. So here, even to the 1800s, we were dealing with this question of having the vote, not having the vote.
Now, wait a minute. The guy would allow Blacks to vote as long as they met the property requirement.
Right.
But other than that, you really, this is not your ball game, so to speak. So your participation is based on my rules.
Right.
yes, guys. Now, go ahead. Finish your thought.
And I just was going to add that, of course, close for those who are in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the same thing occurred. Now, look at the timeline. In 1780, they had the Graduate Abolition Act. And from that point, black men who had property were able to vote. By 1836, they took the right to vote. The state rescinded. I start to stutter, right, Elliot, because I start thinking about having the right to vote after, I think that was the 15th Amendment, and then having that vote being able to taken away and not being able to vote till 1964.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have it and it's taken away. The critical analysis about this thing about the voting is not just that the ideal that our ancestors wanted it, or as they, the cliche now in the propaganda say, died for it, but that us understanding that it must have some power, because they, whoever this they is in the body politics of the moment, will take it away. And it didn't happen. And obviously it just didn't happen one time in our historical experience, right? Well, we mentioned New York, we mentioned Pennsylvania, we recognized that in the South, and then, so this thing about the vote is something that if you don't recognize and operate as, and I like that, as a franchise people in this marketplace. And you know what, Elliot? I think it's because of the effectiveness of us voting with as a group, not as an individual saying, I voted. You know, they got this badge now and you stick it on, you put it on your chest. I voted. But when you vote as a interest group and requesting goods and services through policy and agenda, then others, because there's only limited amount of resources in there, others who would want to have more for themselves will figure out ways to make sure that you don't get them. Now, don't we need government resources that should come out of the body politics,
mm-hmm,
that works towards our best interest in our quality of life within the society?
Definitely.
It just, And we can go on. I mean, this, you know, I wanted to start there because, you know, the way we talk about the civil rights 1964. But this this volleying for power continues to go on. And the point of the power of the vote goes on. And you know, Ellie, I can go on, and I don't want to, but I think that it's this historical journey when we talk about, because you can't make an analysis unless you know the history. I think everybody uses the metaphor of the doctor, right? When you go to the doctor and you have a problem, they asked you for your history and before they give you, they, you know, deal with any remedy to your problem or give any diagnosis. That's my layman understanding of how doctors go and pursue trying to solve your illness, right? They want to know, like, are you allergic to something or something, anything like that. So when it comes to making about this vote, you know, doing this historical analysis seems to be, you know, important. And
Now, using what you said, Richard, because I want to, you said something, and I want to share with you this this piece of information. You talked about New York in 1809 and what was stated to the audience in reference to black people and participating in voting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read to you now, and I'll draw an analogy. If you remember, and I always state that after that Million Man March, when all of those black folks converged on D.C., 2 million people, that immediately the law was changed because the radio was used as a tool by black folks to organize, right?
Yes.
And immediately it was action taken. Okay?
Right.
Now, they might not have realized the conversation that was going on behind the scenes in reference to what our people were doing. Sure, if you're conscious, you always know that these people are observing you and want to cut you off at the pass. But some of our people that might not be aware of the wiles of Europeans and this system that they have created might not be aware. But you can see the aftermath of what happened in 1996 after the Million Man March of 1995. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at 2012 in relation to what you stated about 1809, 200 and plus years down the line, right?
Mm.
Look at what happened in 2012, the national voter turnout rate among black citizens exceeded that of white citizens for the first time in American history. But this was quickly followed by U.S. Supreme Court rulings that two devastating Supreme Court rulings that eliminated core voting rights protections and threatened to undo decades of progress towards a vibrant democracy. And I used, and me personally, I'm using that in quotations, that progress toward a vibrant democracy. Keep in mind, in 2012, according to this published report, the national turnout rate among black citizens exceeded that of white citizens for the first time in history. Look what happened in 2013. The U.S. Supreme Court decision in Shelby County versus Holder gutted Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act by declaring the formula used to determine covered jurisdictions unconstitutional. Without coverage formula, Section 5, it is essentially unenforceable, meaning that states with a history of white supremacy and voter suppression can once again manipulate their voting policies and procedures without seeking federal approval from federal officials. the response to Shelby in many covered jurisdictions was swift and predictable. In North Carolina, for example, lawmakers rushed to impose strict voter ID requirements, but North Carolina was not alone. Multiple jurisdictions used that new freedom to enact strict voter ID laws, closing polling places, and limiting access to voting. So, is there any similarity there, Richard?
Oh, yeah.
Between what happened in 1809 and what happened in 2012 and 13. And keep in mind, this is 200 years plus later. It had nothing to do with any Trump or Biden. And plus, Obama was in office at the time. All this took place while he was in office. So what is that saying to people? What is that saying to our people? I don't care. You know, it's white folks was doing this. They made sure they rushed to do this after they seen what happened. See, because evidently they seen that what black folks did, and not necessarily on a national level, because the candidate they voted for lost because of checks and balances that they had put in place. You just talked about it earlier. Won the popular vote, but didn't win the Electoral College. But that wasn't the rub. The rub was what was accomplished or what they did with using that tool.
Right, exactly. That's you know, and that's, Elliot, that's so critical that it's somewhat, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's somewhat lost in the mobilization around the vote, that it is a tool, and it's something, you know, this, but it's not a tool as it relates to individuals. It's a tool that relates from an organized body.
Exactly. Richard, let me give you an example here. This is locally, but this happens all over. In local municipalities, if you have, now in Philadelphia, they call them councilmen. In other cities, they might term them aldermen or whatever. They got different names for them, sometimes in different areas. If you have black councilmen, like we have in Philadelphia, they control the politics of their community, or supposed to. We see now the developers come in, most of them white, and basically dictate what's going on in black communities. It don't have to be that way. Now, in general, when you open up a business in a community, you're supposed to go to the city hall, especially if you got to do changes, apply for license. It's supposed to be posted, whatever you're doing, in a particular place. And then arrangements are set up for a zoning meeting with community residents. And it's usually held at a recreation center, a local church, whatever. And you, as the businessman, is supposed to come in and tell the community what you would like to do. And then they vote on whether they want you to do it or not. That's what happens if you're in business. I had a guy across from me. I'm on a commercial strip. It was a brother that was opening up a soul food restaurant. This was 4 years ago. He came over to my place of business. He talked with me, told me what he wanted to do. He didn't even talk with me. He talked to other businesses and community people. And it was a zoning meeting arranged at the church a couple of blocks down. And he told the community what he wanted to do. And eventually, he opened up his place, and he's still in business. But here's an example. It was a business next to me that the guy sold his building. It was a pizza place there for years. An Asian bought it that owns a Asian restaurant about a block down the street. Bought the place next to me. and immediately started renovations. You know, you hear all the noise, the banging. So I go out there after a couple of days, and I asked the man, I say, hey, what are you doing over there? He said, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do right now. I said, where's your permits? When is the zoning meeting? I'll put them up. So I called City Hall in reference to it. They told me what he was planning to do there. I said, well, when is the zoning meeting? Well, it hasn't been arranged as of yet. But the work is being done. In about another 3 weeks, he'll be opening up the business. The community has no say in the matter. There was no meeting to let the community know what's happening. That's what I'm talking about, Richard.
Yeah.
That these businesses, yeah, whether it's Asian businesses, whether it's Latino businesses, they just open up in the black community. Mm-hmm. You see it in your area. They might start doing renovations. The next thing you know, boom, they're open. The community has no say in it. They already got the okay from elected officials, because before they come in these neighborhoods, they got to get the okay from these black elected officials. They do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying, that on a national level, it's a little bit different. It's a lot different. But on these local levels, in these local municipalities, you can control the tax dollars leaving your community. You can control the businesses that's opening up in your community, and you can start controlling the access to capital to open up businesses in your community. That's if you are conscious enough to do that. But that's what I'm talking about dealing with local politics as opposed to this national politics. It's totally different.
And when we tie the tool of voting, though, since that's the common denominator, right? It seems to me, that utilizing the tool of voting, not for the voting seat, but for the organizing seat, becomes where the real power lies. I don't know if you agree with that.
Wait a minute, repeat that again.
The tool of voting becomes organizing people around voting is a tool to organize around. And if people are already organized, then they would be aware that someone is doing that kind of construction. And they would be demanding as organized voters that those petitions and requirements are met before the work is done. But when you don't when the community is not organized, you know, you acting as an individual and you're saying, well, what's going on? That is just an individual, and they done already made deals with the public officials, the bureaucracy, and they're doing what they're doing. I'm only trying to say is that tying into how this tool of voting becomes a tool not about voting, but about organizing.
Well, it should be. And listen, okay, now that you said it again, you're exactly right. For our people, it should be a tool for organizing, because we're disorganized sometimes on a lot of different levels. And seem like it's easy for black folks to run around and use the cliches. You die for that right. You don't count. You don't vote. You don't count. You know, and some people just follow along like sheep, and they feel as though they're supposed to do it, but they really don't know why. Or they just know, I want to get this guy out of here and replace them with somebody else that feels the same way that might not be as overt.
And that is how this something has got lost in doing that. When we do this walk down the role of history, understanding that it is a tool for organizing. When we talk about 1809, they weren't just talking about voting just to say that we're citizens, right? It was utilized as a tool to express something that they were not supposed to be. And that is a citizen. And even then, just to do that was considered a threat, just like you mentioned about the number increase in 2012 and that court ruling, because the numbers increase on the threat of what that voting, increased voting, would be able to do. If I can give another example.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And something else looking at in the balance of power, independent black politics and third parties, movements in the United States, Omar Ali. He said, now this is in the 1830s, 1840s. In the late 1830s, relatively few abolitionists, and I hope other people recognize that primarily abolitionists that had heart, spirit, and intentionality was African abolitionists. I know sometimes I even myself get this image when we say abolitionists, they think about white people, right? But black men and women were abolitionists against the abolition of slavery, right? Especially, you know, they were the prime drivers for that. Supported the formation of an anti-slave, 1830, right? An anti-slavery party to challenge the Democrat and the Whig parties and the African-Americans in favor of such a party, such as Samuel Ringo Ward and Henry Highland Garnett, were a minority within a minority. However, a new possibility presented itself for an independent black political action. I don't want anybody to lose sight that in 1830s, 40s, they were talking about party formation, which means about voting, right? For political action, not voting just to be voting. Not voting just to say you're voting. I think this is a part of this analysis, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was to voting for a political action. On April 1st, 1840, abolitionists from across the Northeast and West came together in Albany, New York, to decide a platform and select national candidates for the fall election for what that would be the first anti-slavery party in the nation history. The Liberty Party. But we have to, doing this here analysis of the vote and our community, he goes on to say, most African Americans, despite the debating at the conventions, remain neutral to the Liberty Party. Many, however, opposed it. And what am I saying when I see, or what do I see? And I hope, you know, when we're talking about that, we have fractions, because you mentioned in the example that you gave that this in Philadelphia, that city, black city council person controls the land within that council district.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If that, not that council person, but that political machinery of the within that district was organized for the constituency, which would be black, in that taking control over that landmass, utilizing the vote, then, as you say, they would be dictating who and what would be able to build within that district. But if that political operative, entrepreneur, as I see, is only looking out for themselves, they wouldn't want that voting group to be organized to have a political interest, right, for their own quality of life, utilizing that mechanism. But here we're looking at 1840. These black men are pushing forward and supporting the formation of a political party for their interest. What's that interest? To abolish slavery. Did that make sense?
Not a Democratic Party, because that's what was in existence. Not a Whig Party, because that was in existence. But a independent, a third party to push an interest. Well, whites ain't had to worry about no anti-slavery, did they?
No.
So it couldn't have been primarily just for those whites that are mentioned, Lewis Tappan and Garrett Smith. It wasn't necessarily for them. That obviously, that third party would have been primarily for pushing the interest for those Africans in America who had a righteous political interest that can only be changed by utilizing the political process, which is the elimination of slavery. That's 1830, 1840.
So you're talking about the men at that time, ancestors of Garnett and others, wanted freedom for their brethren.
Right.
Now, it's no different if you spin the clock up again. Now, look at, I want to read this definition here that the Center for American Progress put on a movement that your ancestors started. Now, we know that the civil rights movement, which morphed into the Black Power movement and the people that was involved, a lot of them, especially some of the younger ones, Kwame Ture and others, came out of the civil rights movement. But it started as a organized movement in Montgomery in 54 with C.T. Vivian and when they drafted King. And it was a movement for freedom and justice. Our people wanted that. It did that bus boycott kind of started it. But they wanted freedom for our people. That was the underlying goal. Dr. King mentioned it in several speeches. Right, Richard?
Oh, yeah.
I just want you to, because we talked about before how Europeans changed the narrative and the language to promote ideals and to fit how they want black folks to operate in their system. Now, all black folks should know what was the goal behind the civil rights movement and the Black Power movement. Because it was basically the same. Maybe some players wanted, especially during the civil rights movement, you had some players that got involved that wanted assimilation. But the underlying goal was freedom for our people. Now, look at this definition that the Center for American Progress now. The board of directors, a former politician, Tom Daschle, was the chair. It's a woman of Indian descent. That's the president. And all the rest of the folks on, well, Tom Daschle's white. Everybody's on, it's 10 people that sits on this board. They're all of them white. They got one, Stacey Abrams, sitting up there. Now, let me read the, because the Center for American Progress deals with all things that try to help advance movements and things of that nature. It's supposed to be like a liberal think tank. This is what they said in reference to the civil rights movement that dismantled many obstacles. It says, in 1954, black activists launched the American Civil Rights Movement to ensure that all Americans, regardless of race, could exercise the rights and protections guaranteed to them in the Constitution. Movement leaders risked life and limb in a decades-long struggle against discrimination, segregation, and voter suppression. Richard, what's wrong with that language there?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the language that's stated there. Now, just say, for example, if you had a young black child that was in school and he was told to do a report on the civil rights movement, and he went to this site, Center for American Progress. Look at that definition. In 1954, black activists launched the American Civil Rights Movement. Our ancestors didn't launch that. It was never stated like that. The American Civil Rights Movement, to ensure that all Americans, regardless of race, could exercise their rights and protections guaranteed to them in the Constitution. What?
Sound like the same thing they did with the 15th Amendment when they brought that into being.
Yeah, well, you know, our people got to be, these people, they always playing chess, and sometimes we playing checkers. And the thing about it, you got somebody black sitting up in there that seen this definition. Evidently, they agreed with it. Well, she's a politician. Some of our people is fascinated when they see some of these people up there. I don't care whether they black men or black women. But some of these people are no good. They're just not. Let me, I want to play this. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I want to play this clip of, and it was sent to me by Brother Ralph, one of the frequent callers to the program. And I want to play it because it was something that Minister Farrakhan said in reference to the election of 2016, which was Clinton and Trump, in which he won. But let me play this clip. I think it's apropos and worthy of throwing into the mix of this discussion. Here it is. Let me pull it up here.
Most of you are so hurt because Queen Hillary lost. And some of you have cussed me out.
That's right, Bobby. That's
right. Because I didn't vote for her. I didn't vote for Trump. See, I knew both of them is the same. You ain't gonna get nothing from either one but more deceit from Hillary, but more straight talk from Trump. He told you, you didn't have nothing to lose. You've been a Democrat all your life and don't have a damn thing to show for it. You all thought Farrakhan was with Trump. Some of you Negroes.
Go ahead.
And though I have been your faithful servant for 60 years or more, you would be angry with me because that white woman lost. And you felt like you lost too. Massa, is you hurt? We hurt too, Massa. Oh, Massa, we was about to break that ceiling, Massa. And I thought Farrakhan was our friend.
Richard. Now, he talked about the one that was overt and the one that both of them got the same objective. Now, let's look at that now, because you've got the same dynamic in play now. Two of the same people. Biden and Trump.
Mm-hmm.
One is just in your face. And for example, today or yesterday, he said that all of this stuff, which is a sham anyway, because when these police gun our people down in the street, shoot them in the back, take them into cells, kill them, shoot unarmed people, shoot children in the park playing with toys, pull up, and 4 seconds later they did, run into Walmart, shoot somebody in the aisle, kill them. Then all of a sudden, if they're still on the force, they get sensitivity training. How has that been working out for our people? So here this guy come along and say, we ain't doing that no more. That don't work. That's propaganda. We going to cut it out. We ain't using no more federal money for sensitivity training. How is it any different than continuing the sensitivity training? It's the same objective. Black folks are still getting gunned down. Just somebody's getting paid for delivering this sensitivity training. You know, Richard, let me say this before we take a break and then go to the calls right after we come from this break. I wrote down 5 things that I know that black people, when, and especially our ancestors that fought for freedom, wanted to see, at least in this nation where we were forced to live and forced to dwell. I got 5 things I wrote here, and this just me off the cuff. The first one I got, to end the system of racism or white hegemony. They were fighting to do that. They wanted it ended. They wanted to end lynching. White extremist groups or the police just willy-nilly killing our people. They wanted good-paying jobs, especially after centuries of our ancestors doing free labor for this man. They wanted access to capital, to buy land, to open businesses, and create and provide jobs for their people. And they wanted access to education for their children. Better schools, if that included private education or higher education. Our people wanted those 5 things. Coming out of chattel enslavement through the early 1900s up until 64, when some of these acts were supposed to have changed. But if you look now, has voting changed any of that, those 5 things? Has voting changed any of that? Has the system of voting that we've been participating in since 64, because I won't go further back, because we did have the right to vote then. It's just a lot of our people wasn't exercising as a collective. But since 64, has voting changed any of that? Well, let's look at the first one. Has it ended the system of white supremacy or white hegemony? No. It's as strong as ever. It's not as overt. You know, back then, you see a sign, don't know black, come in here, don't do this. It's not as overt, but it hasn't changed the system at all. It's as strong as ever. Number 2, to end lynching. Well, white extremists can't lynch you with impunity like they used to do some of our ancestors, but it has turned into the police doing it. Back then, they would pull a black person out, take them out there, have a picnic, and offer tickets and take pictures after they brutalize and mutilate our ancestors. That doesn't go on anymore, but voting didn't change that. Now they just sanction it. They paying people to do it. Let's look at the third one. Our people wanted good paying jobs. But the black families still have the highest unemployment rates in this nation and the highest poverty rates of any other nationality. So voting has done nothing to correct that. Access to capital for our people to be able to buy land, open businesses, to provide jobs for the community. Let's look at that. Over 50%, and this is according to Brookings, over 50% of black Americans that are born poor or will stay poor. And the ones that are middle class, their children are slipping down the socioeconomic ladder. And the access to higher education by race, black children or black students attend the worst schools of any nationality. So if you look at those, just those five things that I put out there, voting hasn't changed those things one iota. In fact, they've gotten worse. So if you're doing a critical analysis of voting, and especially the way we've been using it, it doesn't work. That's what I come up with. Maybe the audience have something different. Maybe we can talk about it after the break because I see some folks on the line. But that's my assessment, Richard. If you look at some of the critical analysis of functioning things that we need in a society and that we need here in this society, voting has not changed that for black folks.
Mm.
And if you look at those quote-unquote landmark decisions, the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Bill, that wasn't changed through voting. That was changed through pressure and people fighting and all in these cities and what was going on in these small towns and major cities. That wasn't changed through voting. So when you look at things that was implemented or changed through voting, it hasn't made a dent in any of these things. Ending the system of white hegemony, ending lynching, good paying jobs for our people, access to capital, and access to higher education. It hasn't changed those things. Let's take a brief break, and when we come back, you can get on the phones and give us a call. Put some meat on these potatoes or put something in the stew here. You can do that by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, it's 215-490-9832. Time for an awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I think you'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves. then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to himself.
And leaders, you administrators, you teachers, you leaders, you are the worst. No cowardly, punctified leader will lead this new generation of young black men and women. Your day of leading them is finished. You can't feel it? When you talk to young people, you can't feel that you're missing them? Parents, you can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk? Did you hear them in Ferguson tell Jesse, get the hell out of here? You ain't no leader. I was hurting for my brother because Jesse worked hard for our people. But time has moved on. And what was good yesterday ain't no good at all today. So either you become a new vessel so that new wine can be poured into the old wine. For your day of leading our people is over, and it will never come back to you again.
Damn it, we're still in the land of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party. Still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a Freedom Party. You don't see it. You're a slave. I'm a slave. And unless we admit that we are slaves, then we can never get free. Never get free.
You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And they're all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump.
So you could see that the government of America has been planning our demise. Any members of Congress here, any members of the civil rights movement that are here, you love this nation. You've suffered every indignity to make America better, that she might be great. And every time you forced her to make a law that was in our favor, they came right behind that law with skill and chicanery to make the law of non-effect.
When it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, put them in substandard housing, put them in scientific experiments, put them in the lowest paying jobs, put them outside the equal protection of the law, kept them out of their racist bastions of higher education, and locked them into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating her citizens as less than human. God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 8:17 here in the city of Philadelphia, and we're in open forum this evening. Anything that's on your mind, give us a call. We'll talk about it, and you can do that by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Richard?
Yes, yes.
Let's go to the phones here. Got a couple callers here on the line. Let's deal with them. 414 Milwaukee. 414, are you there? Mm-hmm. Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to 404. 404 Atlanta.
Hey, my man Elliot. How you doing? You hear me?
Hey, sir.
I don't blame him.
Hey, man. Hey, look at here, man. Hey, I want to thank y'all, man. It's a fella that moved from up there, Philly, to Brown County. His name, Gregory Tony. You ever heard that name before?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our folks down there in Brown County, Florida, re-elected him to be sheriff of Brown County, Florida, man. He's from Philly. His name, Gregory Tony. Okay, and I sent y'all the article on him through the Time for Awakening DM message, man. He's a good brother, man. okay? And he the people down there put him in office, man. I mean, and he beat that the small hat that the Israel guy that was down there when they shot the school up. So my man Gregory Tony, man, he represents, man, down in South Florida, Brown County, man. Okay, he's a new sheriff down there, man. He's for our people, man. So our people waking up slowly but surely, man. It's a good thing, man. You check him out, man. His name Gregory Tony, man. He's from Philly. He's a good brother, man.
Okay.
And so that I usually don't have too much good things to say about them the blue light specials, man, but he represents for our folk, man, down there in South Florida, man. You know, I like to bring some good news sometime, man, you know what I'm saying? And another thing is, man, our people waking up. You got to tell our people, do not get caught out there in the streets with them Black Lives Matter fake folks, man. So what them devils is doing, remember the Boston Tea Party? When they dressed up like Indians, like us, we indigenous people, and did that clowning stuff up there in Boston back in the 1700s. Okay, so that they run that same playbook now, where they dressing up like us, calling themselves Black Lives Matter, and they doing a lot of criminal activities, breaking windows and rioting and stuff, and then so they setting our people up. So they tell our people, man, don't even get out there, man. You see what I'm saying? Because I study, man. I go back in history and see what happened so we don't make the same mistakes twice, man. Okay? That's what I do, man. So I just let our people know, man, don't fall for that, man, because these folks are fighting amongst themselves. So the best thing we can do is just chill, man, and learn how to protect yourself, man. Just be ready in case something jump off or don't go start nothing, man. You see what I'm saying, Richard and Elliot?
Yeah. I agree.
I hear you.
Yes, sir, man. But check out my man, Gregory Tony, man. He's a good brother, man. That's all I got. I listen to my folks talk, man. And you're right about this voting stuff, man. It's all a game, man. Republican, Democrat, it's all a game, man. This country's falling apart. So just let it fall apart. Get yourself together, man. It's our time. I keep telling y'all, man. And telling our people, man, just be cool, relax, enjoy this show. So we coming up, man. It's our time, man. Anyway, I like to bring positive vibes, man, you know, to our people, man, because I know a lot of our people perplexed and down and don't be fighting each other, man. Just chill and relax, show love to each other, man. We coming back up, man. I leave to some more of the family, man. I reserve my time to the family, man. I love y'all, man.
Peace.
All right, take care now.
Talk to you. Let's go to 504 Louisiana. 504.
Good morning. I mean, good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
All right. This is one of my first-time caller.
Okay.
Great.
I'm not going to say too much. I just want to bring awareness to Columbus Day. I know it ain't until next month. And I don't know if there's been any recall to it. But I would like to bring awareness to the atrocities that had happened during the time of his reign on the continent with the natives. The natives was raped, the women and the children. It was thrown into the vats of boiling soap, beheaded. The children, the babies was thrown into big rocks. And even though Christopher Columbus, you know, even though he was put in jail for his atrocities, he was still pardoned. But I would like to bring that to attention, you know. I don't know how far it will go, but I still would like to do it starting maybe next week. I start calling the radio station where I'm at in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying?
You got a black station down there in New Orleans?
Yes. WBOK.
Okay.
That's the black radio station there. And I call there kind of often anyway on other issues, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I was going to bring that to attention.
Now, are you familiar with Brother West down there? I think he got the...
Yeah, he's the one that texted me the number to call tonight.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's the one that turned me on to being conscious. I owe him that, you know, yeah.
He's a good man. Yeah. He's a good brother.
Yes, he is. He helped me out of the situation. Yeah. He the one that texted me about five something.
Well, tell our listening audience what's going on down there in Louisiana. Are you near? I was getting ready to say Baton Rouge. Where are you near?
I'm in New Orleans East.
Okay.
Uh huh.
So I mean, what's going on down there? You know, we had one of the activist pastors that came on the program not too long ago that talked about some of the marches that he'd been having down there. And, you know, a lot of those white extremists is out there marching openly in black areas with guns, brandishing weapons and all. Talk about some of the things that's going on down there for our listening audience that's not aware.
Yeah. Well, I could give you a little bit because I like the brother just got off the line. He was saying at the time they haven't been doing no marching here in New Orleans that I know of, unless the news just ain't showing it. But there were some last month, but it was more organized, and there was some fascists. But it wasn't like other cities were, you know, like this, you know. I think it's all control, man. Cause like the Antifa, so they tell you about the Antifa and all that. And Antifa ain't nothing but all right wing people who have trained in Israel and all this. Well, you know, if you don't, like my brother say, if you don't study nothing outside of what the news and the Bible tell you, you'll be stuck on and dead to brainwashed to what they're telling you, and you'll be marching you right into the FEMA camps. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the protesting, it ain't quiet down now. It's just mostly back to basic news. They ain't been doing. But New Orleans never was known for doing any kind of real uprising where they destroy anything. We might do a little marching, and it'd be more organized here, you know.
Well, you had a history of organized resistance down there with the Deacons for Defense, you know. So I'm quite sure that the resistance is still there.
Not as much as making the white man mad with them. Like, you know, I know what you're talking about, the Deacon of Defense, like, you know, years ago, yeah. But it ain't nothing like that for years. It ain't been nothing like that here, no.
Well, how is the we were talking about voting. Is there a lot of public campaigning in relationship to trying to get the black vote out?
No.
No?
And it makes me so mad. Even the radio station I listen to, you know, like I said before, everything is controlled, you know, just like, I listen to, I don't know if you're familiar with Bobby Hemmett. Bobby Hemmett once said, you know, the radio stations, is controlled, you know, they have to give you a little news, and some of them might give you a little, consciousness on type of information, but at the same time they have to come back and give you some kind of comedy, make it seem like it ain't all that bad, and that's what you get. Because just about every radio station, if they don't have some kind of side homosexual, have his own segment, you know, they're not really serious about. Because when you, like, a lot of times I call with some things. And I don't know if they do it because I've called, because a dude always got to ask me what I'm calling. But why you have to know what I'm calling? But, you know, it's more control. And they're not really pushing, you know, like, people to vote. That's why a lot of black people, you're going to probably be the same. You only have a month and something left, you know, before November the 3rd. And here in New Orleans, there's not no real push for no voting. They ain't been voting for anything in a few since Obama anyway, here in New Orleans.
And has New Orleans...
haven't been voting for anything.
Has the different parishes been, what comes to mind is gentrified, or since the Katrina, has there been development in the different parishes, specifically the black parishes, or have they been experiencing gentrification as you understand?
Oh, yeah. Sustainable development, man. That's what it's all about. You know, whenever you hear your mayors and your your public officials talking about sustainable development. This sounds good. You don't understand what it's really about. And they say, oh, they're about to start putting some money in the city in our suburbs. No, sustainable development means that they're moving the white people into the cities and they're putting them up higher. And I believe like this Hard Rock Hotel, you know, it was part of all. I don't know if you're familiar with the Hard Rock Hotel that had got on.
It was three people that were.
Yeah, right, right.
That were,
right.
Once it all collapsed, that, yeah. that were locked up, yes, sir. You know, yes, killed sir. And.
All yeah. that, all that, all that was part of the, you know, the, all, you know, like, and you see the crime with that, our young men who are breaking into cars all the time and, you know, crime and shooting and all that's planned, man, you know, to push black people out of the cities and put them, they really would like to push them way, way, way out of all the cities. But, you know, like these people, blacks, you know, the ones that's living in the inner city who mostly was renting and tearing up a lot of things, you know, not by their own fault, but, you know, it's been designed that way for years. Just forcing them out the city so the white folks can move back, because you know all these hurricanes and all these earthquakes, people, white folks been all kind of like needing somewhere to stay, so they putting these people in these cities, and that's not the only reason why the white folks come into these cities, but you know they are making ways where the blacks is like having nowhere else to stay, because most of New Orleans are. For black people, it's mostly they rentals. You know, they find out that most of it through Katrina, when the government wasn't paying the homeowners for their rental houses, was just paying them for their regular houses. And you found out how much it was like 75% of New Orleans in the inner cities anyway was mostly rental mm-hmm. homes. And so a lot of people were renting.
So have they done
That's
anything?
That's big time gentrification. They ain't stopped.
So they
going
they,
on as we speak.
They've been gentrifying that Ninth Ward.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And how has the Corona 19 affected in any of the parishes or you know, New Orleans specific?
Oh, man, it's like, I really don't believe in it myself. Because I'm like, every time you wake up, you hear these numbers, but every time I pass down, because I got, you know, I don't stay too far from Methodist Hospital, and every time I pass by Methodist Hospital, I don't see no. You could count the cars on your hand. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as far as this, you know, I don't know if you ever heard of Agenda 21. You know, where all the governments got together in Geneva. I think it was in the 1960s. I could be wrong, but all the, you know, the big governments got together and they made a plan to, as far as the richest people in the world, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, got together and made a plan that they wanted to. These people think they're God, really. Got together and they wanted to depopulate the earth. And Agenda 21 is really. 2021 was supposed to be the year where they were supposed to kill off a lot of people. And it just didn't come to effect like they wanted to, so it's supposed to be 2030. But it's still something. You can look it up. It's still something that is still in effect, because even though this virus it's, you know, it's still, even though they say it's the virus that's killing people, but a lot of people still die, you know what I'm saying? And it's not as way as much as they would like to kill off. Well, I think it's 7 billion people on this whole planet, and they would like to cut it in half. And as far as in our area, with the, you know, it's this, you don't hear about it much rising no more, like you hear all over the news and CDC and these other health organizations. They all in it together with Bill Gates, man, and I think it's all set up, set you up to get you. The whole thing is about being, they want you to stay scared. And one thing about us as people who really believe and who really know themselves, the melanated people, melanin, you should never be afraid, because nothing could work for you. Your melanin can't work, as I'm trying to say. And your melanin can't work if you're due to fear. And But due to the virus, man, that's what they want to keep you in fear, so that they could push this vaccine on you. And the vaccine have aluminum, baby tissues in it, all kind of all the different kind of chemicals that they use for bombs and stuff in these vaccines, man. But you never know; they'll never tell you on the news what's in these vaccines.
Well,
they
bro.
Just push their experts and say, "Oh, it's so bad, we have to rush this vaccine." But they'll say, "Oh, the scientists might check it out." Yeah, but the scientists and the CDC and all these people, all this government people, they connected to the Rothschild and all these type of people that's pushing this depopulation of the earth, man. You know, people have to wake up and realize and go outside and watch CNN and MSNBC and all these people, because all of them is run by Jews.
Brother, thanks for your contribution.
Thank you, my brother. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Peace.
All right.
Take care.
Let's go to Chicago, 773-773.
You got me, brother?
Yes, sir.
Don't call me sir, brother. I work for a living.
All right.
Brother, I want to thank you and the brother there for taking my call. Sometimes I know it's not easy. It's very difficult. How many people want to hear that millions of black people are about to be slaughtered? People don't want to hear that. Now, Brother West said it's our time, and a racist white supremacy empire that runs Earth and out of space. Brother West says our time and that kind of system. I don't see that. The process, listen very carefully, people, this is very important, and we don't have too much longer to talk. The process of understanding or perceiving a common evil has put many people into a situation of the utmost danger. Now, what does that mean? What it means is simply this. The masses of people that was exterminated in the past by these Caucasians, the masses of people that had been exterminated by them, they never saw extermination coming. Oh, they saw them treating them bad. Oh, they saw them disrespecting them. They saw the law against them. But they had no idea that these people had plans to exterminate them. And that is exactly where the slaves in America find himself today. These psychopaths run Earth and space. They have said that the Negro time in America is up, and we finna to move to exterminate them. And this is what we are seeing all across the country. Now, I know many people don't see that. They don't want to believe that. They want to believe these Caucasians are good-loving people. They miss the democracy. They miss the human rights. They miss the UN. You want to believe that when they have exterminated people for over 3,000 years. We are next in line to be exterminated. This ain't no pushback on no call or anybody, but we are next in line to be exterminated. Now, after they exterminate us here in America, the Africans, they are next. They are already setting it up. Look how the Chinese in America, they are moving to Africa. Spain, Germany, France, they all in there. They won't give them a hope. They won't let them run their country the way they want it, their continent the way they want it. The Caucasian's in control. And he's keeping control because he can come and exterminate them after he exterminate us. Now, somebody said, oh, that crazy Brother X talked that stuff. What do you want us to do? Each person got to think about what's best for them. Do you run, fight, or flight? What do you do? You know you cannot beat this psychopath here in the lion's den. We know that. You can't whoop him here. So if you want to fight him, you got to get on the run. Now, if you don't want to get on the run, that's fine. Most people don't want to get in the run. They never been in the military. They don't know that if Billy Bob can find you, he can kill you. If he can find you, you dead. So you have to get on the run when this slaughter starts. Where are you going to go? First thing, you got to get some cover. Many people ain't been in the military. That's why I try to spread this in here. First thing you got to do is get some cover. To get some cover as a human, you need some bush. You need trees, bushes. If you get out there, you must not move in the daytime. They're going to have drones, and they're going to have snipers. The white boys would rather sniper you than to breathe. If they tell him, you rather breathe or you rather sniper this Negro, he say, I'd rather sniper that Negro. So if you move in the daytime out there, they're going to have drones and snipers. I can't tell you where to go or where you're going. And you're going to have to know the weather condition. Do you head to Canada? Canada is white supremacy. France, white supremacy. Britain, Germany, Spain. All these people are white supremacy. So where you going to run? Now, the people that run to Africa, they can do that. But remember this. When they finish with us here, the Africans are next. That's why they will not allow them to have human rights and self-determination. Some of us have heard shows what's happening in South Africa since they played that game with Mandela. Them Negroes in South Africa ain't running jack. They got them set up for what I'm talking about. They run nothing in South Africa. Somebody else told me they run nothing in Ghana. The Chinese running in there. The Asians in there. The Russians. So that's where we at. But it doesn't mean, people, I'm going to hang up, but it doesn't mean that you might not be able to go somewhere and save your life. But our time is up. And the witnesses of North America. We cannot, I'm not going to play with you all. I'm going to leave other callers to do that. We cannot defeat these psychopaths. What you're seeing happening in America today is chaos. Government gone haywire. Police gone haywire. Secret Service haywire. Everybody, President haywire. Why? Because in an atmosphere like that, who is it going to impact the most? Come on now. We ain't no goddamn children. Who is that condition? Same thing with this germ warfare. Who is it going to impact the more? The most? It's going to impact us. They know that. And they setting it up. We cannot stop these psychopaths. I'm not going to play with you. They run Earth and space. So what you're going to have to decide individually, can you escape? Can you get a grandson out of it?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What are these other nationalities going to be doing when they are hunting black folks?
Well, they're not after them now. They're after us.
Oh, so they'll be just sitting by watching.
Yeah, Right. They want black people now.
So when
we're the biggest threat to them. It's not Mexicans, Asians.
So like if you at the airport or at the park, and there might be other nationalities around, when the white folks come, they just want black people.
Well, you're not going to get to the airport unless you already in there. When this solar starts, they're going to shut down everything. They're going to shut down water, lights, expressway, communication. All that going to be shut down. So I'm pretty sure they will be shutting down any planes from taking off.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you're not out
I got another question for you. You do, in all these cities and municipalities, have black folks on these police forces.
What is that, a joke?
Let me ask you something. Because every black person that's on these police forces is not necessarily an Uncle Tom. What are they going to be doing when white folks is just gunning down black folks willy-nilly? Wait a minute. You got blacks in the service. See, when you gave those scenarios, I know our history, and I know our experiences here with these people, so you're not telling me that I don't know. The only thing different with Rosewood, Wilmington, and other times like that, is other things in play now that wasn't in play during that period. You didn't have blacks all in these armed forces with weapons like you do now. You didn't have blacks on these police forces or not with weapons like you do now. So when you give the scenario of these people just willy-nilly just going around hunting black folks, I'm not saying that some of those things might not happen. But one thing that you can rest assured, black folks ain't going to be no just chickens ready to be plucked. And number two, you have people on these that's in these, whether it's police force or armed forces, that's not going to just sit there and just watch this stuff happen that you're saying. They're not. I'm quite sure you got relatives and all that might be a police on the police force or in the service. They're going to sit there and watch you get gunned down?
Okay.
That's a question for you.
Okay, let me answer that. What the black police is going to do is run home.
Oh, so they're going.
They
oh.
always do.
Okay, so
when
they're going to
chaos starts,
they're going to just drop their weapons and run home.
Yeah, they're going to run home. Okay, that's what they're going to do.
Wait. The ones in the service, they're going to just drop their M16s or whatever they're using and just run home.
The black military people in the military, they are going to be like a deer. And headlights.
Oh, okay.
They ain't gonna know what is going on.
Okay. So
they're gonna depend on the white supremacy power structure to tell them what is going on.
Some of them are gonna already be
set up for assassination.
Were you in the service, Brother X?
Yes, sir. I was in the service. I went to Vietnam.
You was like a deer in headlights?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
But I got in some stuff.
Now let me say something. When you came home from the service, a lot of those guys kept weapons when they came home from Vietnam. They might have kept their own.
I don't know about keeping weapons from Vietnam. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you came home from Vietnam and you seen white folks gunning down your people, what would you do?
I would fight back.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's all.
But if I see what I see from
the
enemy,
wait a minute.
I'm going to try to get out ahead of time.
Wait a minute. You have answered it for me.
I don't want to fight a battle. I can't win.
Brother X, you didn't answer it for me. You answered it for me. I want to thank you for your contribution. I love when you call, and I want you to keep
going. Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you take my call, man. It makes me feel good.
No, I'm going to keep on taking it because I think that your message is important.
Oh, well, thank you.
But I'm
Brother Richard too, man. I appreciate y'all.
You know, not this time, but what I like about your message, I'm always looking at that we're generals at the table.
That's right.
So you're creating
true.
A scenario
That's
that
true.
We should consider.
Right, we got to discuss this. Right, we got to discuss
deal with
this.
A war strategy.
Right,
so,
right. That's
so,
it.
You know, so the dialogue should be. Not necessarily that, even though you present it in such an absolute manner, presenting those different scenarios, what is our strategic and tactical solutions to them?
Exactly
because
right.
What you present
right.
is that
hey, because these boys, they've been exterminating people for over 3,000 years. They didn't start yesterday. This is what they do. They've been doing it for over 3,000 years.
Yeah, well,
you're right, Brother Richard.
Well, yeah, listen, Brother X, thank you for your contribution, man.
I want to thank y'all, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Talk to you.
And shout out to Brother Jay.
Let's go to 267. 267. 267, are you there? Let's put them back on hold. I don't know what's going on with that one. Let's go to caller, are you there?
Oh, no, I'm just listening.
All right. Let's go to 215. 215.
Hey, Brother Elliot, Brother Richard, how y'all good brothers doing on this beautiful Sunday night, I think?
Hey, sir, what's going on?
I'm doing fine. I'll praise be to Allah. I don't know where to begin, Brother Elliot. Brother X, if you listen, I know you still listen, Brother X. I love you, brother, because, again, I'm glad, you know, you had a good conversation. I like how Richard, you and Brother Richard converse with Brother X. I love Brother X, and so he keeps it real, man. You know, I have no doubt, like you told Brother X, that these people definitely want to kill us. They've been trying it for years, but see, you know, me, my faith, I can only speak for my personal belief. Like Malcolm said, your belief is your belief. It's pride, and my belief, I'm a Muslim. And I believe in Almighty God Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, whom all praises is due forever. And I do believe that the Creator I serve is not going to let us just be slaughtered. He gives us wisdom. Because as you told, Brother X, you know, it's a different time now. I mean, we didn't, like you said, back then, them brothers didn't have all those sophisticated weapons and things like that. I firmly believe that no brother's going to just sit around, whether they've been a military, or whether they end up in the police departments and stuff. They are not going to sit around and watch the people be slaughtered. Now, some will, because you know you got them Negroes out there now. So, I hope Brother X remember back in July of 2016, Brother Ellen and Brother Richard. Remember the brother down in Dallas, Texas?
Yeah.
This is right after them. And Brother X, listen to me carefully, Brother X. Back in July of 2016, when them devils murdered Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, that brother down in Dallas who was a career military man, this is what you were telling Brother X just now, this brother was a special forces officer, like almost like a Navy SEAL, if you will. You know what I mean? This brother was skilled in all kinds of hand-to-hand combat, explosive, you name it. He damn near, and there's no doubt in my mind, one man could have damn near took out the whole Dallas Texas Police Department, because they were sending cops in one by one, and he was just gunning them down because he had enough weapons to fight almost like a mini war.
Joe, I don't know whether he could have took out the whole force, but he would have did damage, and they knew it. That's why they sent in a robot to kill him. And see, that's what I'm trying to explain to Brother X. You know, listen, mm-hmm. you don't have to tell me about our historical experience here. I know about Wilmington and mm-hmm. Rosewood and things like that, but this is a little bit different time. At that time, you didn't have no blacks on these police forces.
That's right.
In fact, you could go in cities and wouldn't see a black on a police force. And you didn't have blacks in the service like you do now with weapons. Blacks basically got weapons in their hand maybe in Korea and mm-hmm. Vietnam. And Richard, you can answer that also. I'm quite... In World War II, blacks just started getting weapons in their hands. Most of them were service people. When I say service, they was loading munitions. They was in kitchens doing all that type of stuff.
Right.
Well, now, let me interject. I'm glad you raised that, Brother Richard, because you know your history. Because remember the brother who shot down when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor? Remember the brother was
talking about Dorian Miller.
Yeah. Right?
He ran out the kitchen and manned that gun.
Exactly, because he was number two, sliced, cutting potatoes and being in the cook base pretty much. They didn't let him go nowhere near a weapon. But they was glad his black behind was able to get to that weapon and shoot down those Japanese planes. They was glad as I don't know what, you know what I mean? So your point is definitely well taken. It's a different time now. I didn't understand clearly what Brother X is saying. I love the brother. I love what he called the radio station, because Brother X be trying to educate them Negroes on what you're dealing with, these white psychopaths that you're dealing with and stuff, man. I understand clearly what Brother X is saying. It's just that I don't believe, like I say, that they're going to, you know, we're just going to sit by and just be slaughtered. I do believe we got a creator, whether you want to call him Allah, Yehovah, you know, Yahweh, whatever, you know, whatever your form of religious or spiritual practice, you want to call it Most High. I don't believe he's going to sit back and just let us be slaughtered. And stuff. I truly, in my heart and soul, just don't believe that. Because if that was the case, it would have been happened a long time ago. Not that this devil ain't going to keep trying, because that's who he is. But I believe he's finding out time and time again that this black man is resilient. Because we wasn't resilient as a people. We sure as hell wouldn't be here now. I don't think it's undeniable. But you know, Brother Elliot, you had mentioned about, we were back in January of this year when the United States, under this thug that's in the White House, when they ordered the hit on the Iranian general Soleimani and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember right after that, Iran struck back and they bombed the barracks and stuff over there. And I think, was it in Iraq? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, even more, the United States kept saying, well, it was, you know, even Trump and all his ilk and even talk media said, well, you know, it was just a few minor injuries and stuff like that. And you said, well, if you get bombed like that, and you said, no, it's going to be more than some minor injuries. Well, the truth is starting to come out now. I was watching, you know, anytime Fox News, of all people who know it's in Trump's back pocket, they said last week, and one of the other networks said that many of those soldiers, when Iran struck back, right now, some of them never going to be right again. They suffer major. This is their words, Brother Elliot, not mine. They suffer major traumatic brain injuries.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, when they gave that report about that barracks was bombed that night, you knew that report that they gave, I think they said that two people was injured, but nobody was killed. You knew that.
That's
was
right.
You knew that was fake news. I'll use the term with this guy. You knew that was fake news.
Sure. So them guys and them boys in bad shape right now and stuff. According to the media reports, them boys never going to be right again. They suffer traumatic brain injuries and stuff, man. You know.
Now
so,
you go over there and see that's, you know, a lot of this is coming to a head, and especially with our people that are involved in leadership in these governments. You got when they went over there and killed that leader.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these other nations said the man was a diplomat. In fact, at the time, he was over there, he was Iranian, talking with Iraqis.
That's correct.
Now,
that's
when
right.
they killed
that's
him
right.
going to the airport, they not only killed him, they killed Iraqis, innocent people
that's
that
correct.
Was
that's correct.
Driving in a motorcade or at that airport.
That's right.
So when they came over there and bombed that base in Iraq is supposed to be under control of the United States at the time since they deposed Saddam Hussein. But they didn't say anything. They allowed, that base was bombed. That it was, it was bombed. But
you're right, Brother Elliot.
This type of stuff that's happening, man, our people, you know, grassroots people see this stuff differently than some of these people that's assimilationists in these offices.
Exactly.
They do.
Exactly. Because, Elliot, when you were saying to me earlier about, I'm talking about assimilation, when you were saying earlier about the situation with Minister Rodney Muhammad, using as an example, when you said that one of the ministers of the church up here, and not too far from me, said that he wanted to apologize. Now, that meeting, now, was that a Zoom meeting? Was those Jews with him in person at the church? Or was it just by teleconference or Zoom? Was they there in person, to your knowledge?
You know what? I'm not sure. Richard, you shared that article with me. That church... were they at that church? It sounds like from that article that they were at that church.
Yeah, it sounded like they were there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you. And I'm not surprised because, see, again, I told you, Brother Elliot, they said that one of those two ministers, and I believe now that he said that he made a comment, I want to apologize to my Jewish brothers and sisters for the insults or whatever, taking a shot at Minister Rodney Muhammad. It's no doubt in my mind he's the one that made that comment about, you know, no Muslim should be the head of the local chapter of the NAACP. See, that you know what a Negro he is. See, again, see, now he goes, disingenuous these Negroes is, Elliot. Now he goes sit up there and say that he apologized. Well, damn it, why didn't you demand that those same Jews that you're apologizing to apologize to black people when that Jewish rabbi over in Israel, who's the closest associate of Benjamin Netanyahu, when he called black people monkeys and justified it by the Talmud and stuff. Why didn't you make him apologize? And see, Elliot, you know, what get me, if that's what I see, some of these black Christian ministers, they are a disgrace. I know Jay, and Jay, if I'm getting it wrong, Jay, please forgive me, brother Jay, them pork chop, chitlin' nigga, whatever, pork chop, whatever Jay call them, chitlin' eating Negroes, they are a disgrace because not only are they spineless and cowardly and stuff, and they like Minister Farrakhan said in that clip you play, you talk tough about how your Jesus is so bad and stuff in that church. When you get it from these white Jews or these white politicians, you punk out. Case in point, now you got some black Christians, Elliot, and I never paint a broad brush. I've met too many, you know, progressive black Christians to know that they all of them don't think with that Uncle Thomas and stuff mentality. Because all you do is look at people like Nat Turner, for example. Well, these black Christians, some of them always say how much they love Jesus, and they love to take little shots at Muslims and say, well, Muslims, they disrespect Jesus by calling him a prophet and stuff. And anybody know anything about Islam know that Muslims hold Jesus in high regard. Jesus is mentioned more in the Quran, Jesus and his mother Mary, they mention more in the Quran than Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Because Jesus, you can't be a true Muslim and not revere Jesus. But yet, these same handkerchief-head ministers that will take shots at Muslims for saying Jesus is a prophet, they so silent and so cowardly, know the truth is there, but they're scared to speak against these white Jews that they say that Jesus should be born in excrement. This is what they said in the Talmud. They said that Jesus should be born in high excrement. They call Jesus a pimp, a criminal, rapist, everything. They call his mother Mary a whore. And yet these black Christians don't say a damn thing about it, Brother Elliot, but yet they got the audacity to sit up there and take shots at Muslims because they refer to Jesus as a prophet. Why these so-called white Jews calling Jesus every low-life name in the book and denigrating and disparaging his mother Mary? You see what I'm saying, Elliot? See, we got to start calling these people out for their cowardness and stuff, man. So that's why I'm not surprised that this minister would sit there and say that, because they are spineless Negroes, man. The white man have always used these Negroes for his benefit, because they nothing but to keep the so-called Negroes in line, the slaves in line. And we have got to start ostracizing these Negroes out of our community because they number the detriment and stuff. Like, you may not close with these last couple of comments, I'll listen to somebody else to get on. When you mentioned earlier in the show about this voting, you and Richard was talking about the voting. We did all this in voting, and look at our conditions. Now, what has voting, look at all them, some of these Negroes in cities around the country, states around the country, Ellen and Richard. They've been in these offices for 20, some of 30 years, and yet the school system and their communities is a disgrace. All these black, and I know people don't want to hear the truth, Ellen, but look at like Baltimore, for example, Elijah Cummings. I know the man is deceased. I'm not trying to badmouth him, but I got to be honest about Ellen. He sat up there in that office for so many years, and yet the city of Baltimore looked like a war zone, and he had access to federal money. Why the hell didn't he do anything to improve Baltimore? You know what I'm saying? And you know, Trump is a devil, and Trump was saying stuff not because he loved, but he was saying it just to be, you know, antagonistic. But whether he was doing it or not, the point is, even a liar and a racist can speak truth sometimes. That's why they say a broken clock is right twice a day. When Trump got up there right before Elijah Cummings passed away, and Trump said, "You ain't nothing. All you do is just talk." He said, "You was in there all these years in office in Maryland. Why you didn't do nothing for your community?" I mean, and Trump was right about that. You know what I mean? I'm not giving Trump no accolades for that, but he told the truth, Elliot. You know what I'm saying? You know? I mean,
we're all, you know, as you raised that, it gives me opportunity to interject this, because we're talking about the vote and the politics and the elected officials. Again, I think we all have to look at where we are complicit as Brother X says, as individual, which is what I particularly would like us to fight against, because as long as we move as individual. But there used to be a political writer, Chuck Stone, who was here.
I remember him well. I used to talk to him sometime on the phone.
And he wrote a book, The Black Political Power in America. And one thing, when he was looking at the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, he said this, there's two philosophies will be competing for the loyalty. And this is talking about going on the election process going on in Mississippi at that time, and that's 64, which you brought up, Elliot, for the loyalty of black voters. One, the Evers philosophy, which attempts to forge an alliance with white liberals, labor, and blacks. And then the Mississippi
Freedom Democratic philosophy, which conducts its own voter registration drive among Black people and run its own slate of Black candidates, regardless of what the white liberals want or believe politically possible. So it seems, and this is 1964, so it's looking at 2014, and we're talking about these political, what the state of our communities, whether they're rural or, because in Mississippi now, you're talking about hookworms in rural areas, where you look at urban areas. Obviously, the political philosophy that won out was the one that wanted the white liberal, how'd that go? The philosophy that wanted to have white liberal labor and Blacks. That obviously was because I don't see that we are engaged in, even as we talk about the vote, with looking for a vote, even when we talk about voting, voter registration job, for to run our own slate of Black candidates, regardless of what the white liberals want or believe is politically possible. So when you bring up about Baltimore or bring up about North Philadelphia or now Nicetown in Philadelphia, you know, Chicago, New York, we got to say politically, because we aren't running our own candidates. And these guys is running, running with white liberals. And I think, Elliot, you raised in that clip, Minister Farrakhan, as far as with when they lost, how they felt when, what's her name, Clinton, Hillary lost. That was that group, you know. So we got to be considered, we got to look at our complicitness, because we're not, if we're talking about them, but we're not being about it, then we're just watching them do what they do.
And Richard, you're right, Richard, but you also too, Richard, and I don't disagree with you, but you know, I always add to the fact, Richard, when you try to push progressive candidates in our communities and stuff like that, you got they fighting against Negroes that's gonna go against them, and they do all kinds of stuff to turn. That's why you have to see how people view about it. That stuff don't happen where it should, because a lot of our people are politically astute. They getting more and more politically astute now, because some of our people are politically ignorant. But you see it starting to change now. When you look at candidates like AOC, look at candidates like Jamal, what's the brother's name, Jamal Crawford. These people didn't have the support. Like, this go back to what you're saying, Brother Richard. They didn't have the support of the Democrat machine. It was outsiders. But they spoke directly to the hearts and minds of Black people. That's why they was elected. But and this is what you're going to have to do to better get these kind of people when we run our own state of candidates that got out, they truly got out, the Black community in mind. There's not going to be no lackeys for Jews or lackeys for anybody else, white people or the white power structure. We got to make sure we run those slate of Black candidates, male and female, that's progressive. We got to vet these people, make sure and hold them accountable and let them know for our vote we expect X, Y, and Z, and get a commitment from these people, because we can't just necessarily go by word of mouth, because he seemed like, I said, what happened down in Missouri in Ferguson with that Negro who was out there with the community talking big bully talk, and then he got in there, he refused to file charges against Dan Wilson down there. So we got to make sure that we vet these people and stuff, man, because the change has got to come. We can't keep on supporting, like you said, Richard, supporting these Black candidates. They got a Black face, and if they're supported by white people for the most part, because you know when they get in there, they're not going to look out for the interests of Black people. And I close with these last two comments. Rochester, New York. This goes back to what Brother West was saying. He called. The sister said that how these people, these outside agitators, getting into the protest, dressing up like they protesters or whatever, and causing all kind of chaos, shooting at the police, throwing bricks in the window, all kinds of crazy stuff. And there's no doubt in my mind, these number of white boys and white women out here, you know, acting like they down with it, and they causing all kind of chaos. This is why I agree with Brother West. It would behoove our people right now to stay off these streets. And Ella, you said it yourself, brother, a while ago. They should let only people you should stay out here protesting in these streets out here for the most part is white people. Let white people get out there and do all that. You know, let this be white against white. We don't need to be, we made our point. Back here when George Floyd and others, we made our point. Let these white folks get out there with this foolishness. Don't be out there putting yourself in a position, because you can get killed. Not only can you get killed by these white racist extremists, but you can also get killed by these police. Because like you said, you saw what happened up there in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, where the white boy had just killed two people. He running down the street with the damn gun in his hand, and the police slapped him high. The police that didn't even acknowledged him, and he was trying to surrender. The ones that did acknowledge him threw him a bottle of water and gave him a high five and all that stuff. If that's a black man, he gets shot down right on sight. So we got to be smarter than that. We can't be put out, let our emotions take over, and we get caught up there, out there in this, marching with these people, because all they out there is doing is setting, like Brother West said, setting our people up to be slaughtered. And we got to be wise to that, man. We can't fall for that okie doke, man. And lastly, the brother from Louisiana, Elliot, that called, remember right when he ended the conversation, he said that's why he looks for alternative media. He said people, networks like CNN, MSNBC, and all them Fox, who did he say they was run by? He said Jews, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm just pointing out, these people got their hands in everything. And I said this on the Terrestrial Radio Show this morning here in Philadelphia. I said that until we as black people, and that's what Brother Jay, and I love when Brother Jay said it the other on Friday. Jay said that, when is they going to stand up to the so-called Jew? Because, Elliot, I mean, this, I say this with all every fiber of my soul. Until we as black people, not individuals, but until we as black people as a collective stand up to these white Zionists, and ostracize them out of our lives forever. And once and for all, we're not going no damn way as a people. I don't care how many black presidents we elect, how many black governors, mayors, whatever. These people are a detriment to our people, because like when these white Jews say jump, these Negroes say how high and stuff like that. They control. They tell black people who they can have at their radio stations, who they can have, who they can fire, who they can play. If they don't like Farrakhan, they tell you don't play his speeches on your radio. And these Negroes acquiesce and go for it. Until we get these Zionist Jews out of our affairs, once and for all, we're not going nowhere. We're gonna be like a treadmill. Our legs gonna be moving, but we ain't going nowhere. They in everything: finance, law. You pick up a yellow pages telephone book, and I know what I'm talking. I've seen it. Okay, whether it's in Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, the tri-state area. You look under law, you see number pretty much Jewish names. Look at medical, Jewish names. They in everything, man. You know what I mean?
The only thing is this, Joe. Mm-hmm. They need operatives to do what they're doing.
That's correct.
That's the one that you got to really put the feet hold them. Let me read you something here from that meeting Richard shared with me.
Okay.
That meeting was at that church that's in your area.
In fact,
it's about three blocks down from my place of business, that Mount
that's
Airy
correct.
Church.
Mm-hmm.
It says, last week's summit meeting between black and Jewish leaders had the potential to do just that. It began in an inspiring fashion with Bishop Lewis Felton, pastor of the Mount Airy Church of God in Christ, and the vice president of the local NAACP, addressing what he called the elephant in the room. This is what he said. If no one else says, I'm sorry, then I'll say it. Felton says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there was no immediate action taken in respect to our organization. I'm here in pain because I know my brothers and sisters are hurting. Felton's moving comments amounted to a stirring civic leadership. I mean, what is all this? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But I'm glad you said it, Elliot. To show you how disingenuous that Negro is, I was there, Elliot. You see, I'm speaking from personal involvement. I was at that same church in Judas 2017 with Sister Rochelle Bilal, who's now the sheriff, who was one of the board members of the NAACP, along with Minister Rodney. I was there. They showed a film called Walking Wild, Black Love is the Answer. The thing was about documented cases of black men and women driving their cars, getting harassed by the police, you know, pulled over, beat, whatever like that. They had case after case. And I saw it at that church. On that church, Minister Rodney Muhammad, this was in June of 2017, Minister Rodney, Lewis Felton, all of them was at the church, Rochelle Bilal. This hypocrite, spineless Negro Felton got up there and said to everybody there, this my brother right here, come on, Minister Rodney Muhammad, he gave him a hug, said, I love this brother, this is my right-hand man, you know what I mean? He's the glue that keeps this local chapter together. And then 2 or 3 years later, you're going to throw him under the bus. You understand what I'm saying, brother? The town from the Wigan listener on this need to know what kind of spineless, two-faced hypocrite this Lewis Felton is and stuff, how he threw Minister Rodney in the bus. When I saw him embrace this brother and spoke highly of him at his church, some of the damn Jews put heat on these Negroes, he threw him under the bus.
We have to broaden our analysis, though, Joe. We have to broaden it. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but all of them are political operatives.
Exactly. That's the message I was trying to. Okay.
And therefore, if they're all political and they're all political operatives in the Democratic Party in Philadelphia,
and
they all are in one way or another complicit in getting some kind, they have been and are, you know, from, and I'm just looking at the politics of it, you know, the electoral politics of it and the money that flows in the electoral, regardless. And that money comes from different groups. It comes from the Irish. It comes from the Italians. It comes from the Jews. It comes from
Asians.
The WASP.
Asians.
You know, and it ain't no little bit of money. So, yes. But they in there as individuals, but they supporting as long as the money is, as long as you ain't messing them up. Because we hear, I mean, I think Elliot Friday, you read the article with Sister Belial. She jumped off, as the way I would characterize it, right? She took a leave of absence from
She had to, because she what happened, Richard, she quit when she got elected sheriff of Philadelphia. She couldn't serve. She was no longer able to serve on that board. You can't mix. They got this thing where you can't. They only hold black people to that standard. But you're not as allowed to have a position like that if you're in law enforcement, because they look at things so you can be accused of being biased or not indifference or whatever like that. So that's why she had to step down and one of the vice chairs when she was elected sheriff of Philadelphia. But however, I respect Sister Rochelle, because even though she's no longer the vice chair, she was the only black person, elected official or whatever, that still stood by Minister Rodney Muhammad. Because she when he was being attacked by these people, she came to his defense. All them other Negroes like Anthony Harding Williams, all them, Sharice Street, who has worked with in the past, they threw him under the bus. She was the only one that stood with Minister Rodney Muhammad. So I definitely respect Sister Rochelle for doing that. She did sit with the brother.
And as you mentioned, is give that roll call of individuals, still goes back to your point about looking at Baltimore, because we can look at North Philadelphia, we can look at West Philadelphia. So with that roll call and their involvement, the question still comes to light in relationship to the money that's personally being, you know, like taken aside with somebody, say, that some other group don't like. What is the money that is being circulated that obviously ain't being circulated within the community in order to deal with some of those five things that Brother Elliot raised? We have to be critical about this here.
I agree.
And these personalities, all of them, have to be presented as, comparable and complicit.
Yeah, no question. No question, brother. We can no disagreement from me, brother Rich. I'm with you. We need to hold all them Negroes accountable and stuff. But like I said, all them Negroes that keep leading our people to that Democrat plantation definitely need to be held accountable. Because, again, if they do this every 4 years, you get these black ministers and these black elected officials tell us how this presidential election is the most important of a lifetime and stuff. You know, everyone is critical. If we don't get section six, we're going to disappear as a people. And I close with this, Ellen and Richard. Last I looked, we still here. We done survived Del Reagan. We done survived both Bushes. We done survived Clinton. We done survived Andrew Jackson. We survived all them Europeans. We still here. Not to say we ain't gonna catch hell. We've been catching hell since we've been here. But you don't scare me into voting for Biden because I'm scared of Donald Trump. I'm not so real scared of Donald Trump than I was of Reagan and Bush. The rest of them devils, I ain't scared of them. You know what I mean? But I could say if I did vote for one of them, for Biden, it sure wouldn't be because I'm afraid of Donald Trump. You know, that was not that I'm saying I'm going to vote for Biden. When I said, if I did, it wouldn't sure be because I'm afraid of no damn Donald Trump. But like I said, we've been dealing with all of them over the year. All of them been Donald Trump's towards us. All of them been Ronald Reagan's towards black people. You know, so, I mean, that's not going to deter me one way or another. You know, but anyway, Brother Elliot, thanks for letting me express myself. I know you got other callers on, but thanks for the time. Put me on Brother Elliot.
Thank you for your call.
Hey, Ellen, one more thing real quick, Ellen. Do your civic duty when you leave the station. I got to end on a light note, Ellen. When you leave the station, drive over to the Ben Franklin Bridge and protect your white brethren from jumping the bridge since the hockey team lost and these white folks crying in their bed. Prevent mass suicide tonight, Ellen. Do your civic duty for the night, okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
like, hey, thanks, like I care.
Peace, all right, Ellen. Peace. We got about 10 minutes left in the program. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. About 10 minutes to go, so you can get your calls in, 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services if when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Escape the digital plantation. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store are here for you. You are ready to be free of non-African social media. Don't run from danger, run to safety. Abibitumi.com is here for you. You are ready to be free of digital plantations to control your own products. Abibitumi.store is here for you. ABIBITUMI, Black Power, ABIBITUMI. The only word you need to know to join your global Kometsu Black family, to join your interconnected Kometsu Black communities. Escape the digital plantation now. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store. We are here for you. Escape the digital plantation.
That this problem needs to be solved, and we can't keep relegating it to generation after generation because a few of us got a little money, a few of us got positions, a few of us have wealth, while the masses of our people are going steadily down. No one man can rise above the condition of his people. The brother said responsibility. Is it that we should let them take responsibility to do for us, or should we pool the knowledge that's at the table, the power that's in our community, the wealth that's in our community to change the harsh reality of Black life in America? We have to do the job of fulfilling the Black agenda. Thank you.
We have a message to the black man. Because the black man today is a man who has been made now almost into a laughing stock. Nobody takes the black man serious. We're just used to be somebody's tool. We are the sportsmen. We're the singers and the dancers. And we're also labeled as the pimps and the criminals and the drug dealers and the killers and the vagabonds of society. We're the bogeymen of British society and other Western systems. And we want to dispel that lie and destroy those myths and put the black man back on the map where we belong. Who is the black man? The black man is the original man. If it wasn't for the black man, no other men could be on this planet. We are the fathers of humanity. We gave birth to all of you.
We are the watchmen on the wall. You are too. You watch with a political eye. We watch from a spiritual eye. But we're supposed to be the watchmen for the people that vote for us. The sad thing is the people vote, but they don't give you the money to run your campaigns. So here come big business.
How are you? How are you, Judge? How are you, Alderman? How are you, Congressman? How are you? How are you, Reverend? Well, what can I do for you today, Reverend?
You can't do nothing for me. See, that's what we got to be careful of. We got to be careful of who we bow down to. You see, when you get in your congregation and you talk this Jesus, this powerful Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father with all power in his hand, then you go with your hat in your hand to the governor, to the mayor, to the president, begging for some crumbs. You have sold your God cheap. And you make the white man downtown disrespect all of us. Yeah.
Time for an Awakening is a proud part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 9:27. I guess we've got about 10 minutes to go in the program. You can try to slip in here and give us a call at 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Three, two. Let's go to 646.
Brother Elliot, yes. And Brother Richard, it's been a heck of a night, man. You had Research West, Tragedy, Brother X, Little Joe. Now, Little Joe, you got to get this right. I know you're listening, so I'm going to work with you. But you got to get this right, Little Joe. It's pork chop chicken eating pimp preacher. It's not that hard, Little Joe. Take your time and get it right, please. Now, you know, Joe's my brother. But, Joe, I got to check you on something, my brother. As your brother, I got to be honest with you. Now, you tried to throw a hammer at Elijah Cummings for what he ain't do as a politician in his district, which I agree with. And I say this, and I say this honestly and humbly. You got to put Minister Farrakhan in the same class, because he's just as much a leader as Elijah Cummings is. And let's be honest, the minister's been on the South Side in Chicago for over 30 years. And basically, the South Side of Chicago is a war zone. Now, Minister Farrakhan is probably the most prominent leader in America as far as the black man goes. He's much more prominent than Palm Daddy, Messy Jesse, and all of the rest. Nobody could put black people in a stadium, an arena, out in open field, on the mall, any place in this country like Minister Farrakhan can. Now, we must be very clear, must be very honest. He's a good man. But the fact of the matter is, he's been in a community that is probably the worst so-called black community in America when it comes down to murder, death, and fratricide. Gotta call it out, my brother. We can't call out politicians like Cummings and the rest of them who, in all truthfulness, don't have the type of black communities like the South Side of Chicago do, and have the type of death rate going on in their communities like the minister does. So we gotta be fair about it. We gotta be honest about it, and we gotta call it for what it is. And the reality is that we have to hold every so-called black leader accountable for their actions. And we just can't assume that you get a pass because you got some people on your back all the time, a.k.a. that Jew. So I just would like to say, Brother Joe, to you, got to be honest in your analysis. But listen, what I really called up a night about was my continuation of my question to you brothers on Friday. Because I've been listening to a couple of radio shows and listening to black people and watching them on Facebook and Twitter. We as a people are sick, scared, delusional, I don't know what the hell is wrong with us in regards to this Trump situation. But the one thing that I'm not seeing is nobody's talking about what we gonna do if he wins. So we're about, if Trump wins again, and it looks very, very likely that he will, because, like I said a week ago and a week and a half ago, that the Democratic Party has no real plan to get Biden and Harris elected. What they're chasing to get them elected is a joke. It's not going to work. And unfortunately, we're not being honest enough to call it out for what it really is. The only way that you can get Biden and Harris in office is to galvanize the people that they don't want to deal with and address in these key states. And that's poor people. Let's keep it real. That's that white folks that ain't got a damn thing and losing everything, and black folks that ain't never going to have nothing and just existing on the planet. You got to galvanize them and get them to realize that it's in their best interest to maybe vote for Biden and Harris. And they're just not doing it, man. They're chasing after white folks like a brother who woman done dumped him, chasing after his woman who don't want his black ass no more. Once she finished with you, she don't want you. I've only met a few women in my life that went back to a man that they done got rid of, and it's only because of economic reasons. And it ain't even if the Johnson is good. I just haven't seen it. You know, the magic stick sometimes is not the answer. The moolah is the answer. But the reality is, that's what the Democratic Party is basically chasing after. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, they don't want to listen to people who have given them the proper idea and the proper vision and have it set up on how to galvanize the people. And unfortunately, we as a people, too dumb and hard-headed. Because if you think black women going to save you, I'm sorry to tell you, it ain't going to happen. Because you got too many black men that ain't falling for the trick. Now, last time they said that 8% black men voted for the psycho. I'm saying this time he may be able to get anywhere from 17 to 20%. Now, if he gets 17 to 20% of the black male vote, it's a wrap. Because white women, they're not going to leave them. White men are not going to leave them. Those so-called independents and the rest, I don't think they're going to leave him. And his disrespect of others, as long as he keeps this culture game going on of wanting to keep the niggas in line, I think he's going to be all right. But hey, we'll see. But I just want to know, what are we going to do if he get back in office? Do we now shut down and get in a fetal position and just wait to be slaughtered, as Brother James says? Or what do we do to fight back? So the question becomes, with the dire economic situation that's heading this way, if the coronavirus continues next year, what are we going to do? Are we prepared to survive? Are we going to figure out how to survive? I mean, we're not even really being honest with one another and talking about the decimation that's going to happen to black folks come January. You know what I mean? We really don't understand what's going to happen. Now, I would hope for our sake as a people, Biden and Harris get in the office, they may ease the pain a little, depending on how it works out with the Congress and the Senate to determine if they'll be able to really ease the pain, because the most evil and wickedest person in the country, if he gets reelected, then it's really going to probably be a wrap for all people that are poor. And that's Mitch McConnell, who to me is far worse than Trump. I don't even pay Trump the type of mind that I pay Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is probably the most evilest and wickedest white man on the planet. If we really wanted to save the union and society and the world, we would figure out a way to get rid of him by any means necessary. That's as far as I'm concerned. There's no one else within the political atmosphere and hemisphere that is as wicked and evil as Mitch McConnell. And the sad thing is, most people don't understand that. They always want to look at the fool Trump. But it's really McConnell who dictates and controls it all. And unfortunately, because we don't understand civics and we're not really politically skilled, he gets a pass. But the man is absolutely wicked. So I really want to know what we going to do. Because ain't nobody talking about what we going to do in regards to what happens if Trump get back in the office. Because, you know, everybody talks about AOC and now, you know, the brother that Joe was trying to name, Jamal Bozeman, if he gets elected, and some of these other individuals who may get elected, like they really going to make some sort of difference. Let me tell you, they ain't going to make no sort of difference. Don't fool yourself. But the reality is, you know, people like me, you know, my good brother Elliot, my good brother Richard, and my good brother Ralph, and some of the others, I think Oshie going to get the hell out of here. I don't know about Research West, research would be doing more research, probably. I don't know about Joe. I don't know about some of the others. I think we may survive it. But there's going to be a lot of our people who just ain't going to survive this. I really believe, in all honesty, we may be heading back to Jim Crowism or something as close to modern day as Jim Crow. I mean, what do y'all two brothers think of that?
Well,
do y'all think it's possible, or is it not possible to heading back to the modern day version of Jim Crow?
I think that the folks that, when you say what we're going to do, see, that's one of the problems of always reacting to these white folks. The people that's working and have been working, and we've been blessed to showcase only a few people across the country that's working, doing serious work, they're going to keep on doing serious work. The thing is, those people that's under the illusion of inclusion in this experiment of the United States, it's what they're going to do. That's the question, is what they're going to do. Because the people that's working for freedom and eventual liberation of our people is still working, and they're doing work. So maybe it's some of them people that's under those illusions can join with some of these people now and then start doing some serious work.
They got too much love for whiteness, I think.
Well, some of that might change depending on who wins this thing.
We'll
see. And another thing, Richard, did you want to say something on that question?
I think I'll be too long, but go ahead.
Well,
What do you mean be too long, man? Articulate. Do people want to hear what you got to say? Did Daddy got you coming in early tomorrow? Elliot could extend it a few minutes for your intellect and your analysis. This is very important. Don't do that, brother. Teach.
You had something else you had to say, Elliot. I didn't want to break.
Yeah, I did want to mention, when you mentioned about Farrakhan and the stuff going on in Chicago, I think that one thing that we always have to keep in mind, that is other factors and major factors why that violence is off the hook in Chicago. Our people don't produce guns, and all those guns that's on the street, and those it might produce the behavior. I'm to put it this way: it's somebody that got to pull the trigger, certainly, but the access to those weapons and the mindset that it's taking to use those weapons on one another has not been created by black folks, and I think it's a reason why, because you have a lot of organizations that are based in Chicago, and I'm talking about conscious organizations that have been trying to help black people, whether it's the Nation of Islam, whether it's MBUF, other religious organizations. If you're talking about activists, Cam Howard is there, Fred Hampton Jr. So you have a lot of sincere folks that are based in Chicago. So when you see this stuff off the hook in Chicago, a lot of that stuff is happening for a reason. And it ain't happening because that man ain't trying to stop it.
You know what's dangerous, Elliot, and the truth of the matter is? And think about this. Those same politicians that we talk about and that we try to say that they're not doing anything, they know exactly what you're saying. Do you ever hear them come out and really articulate and expose that it's not black folks that's bringing these guns in?
Oh, well, they're not going to say that.
Do you
notice that, go ahead, finish your thought.
But do you remember what the whole drug situation that happened with the crack cocaine and the Gary Webb and all that, and your girl, Maxine Waters, opened up her mouth for a little while and started doing and saying certain things, and all of a sudden they shut her down? You remember that? Because the reality is, these black individuals and these politicians know everything that I'm saying, but they're too cowardly and they too entrenched in trying to hold on to their position. I don't know, maybe get that pension. I don't know what it is. That they won't expose or say the truth in regards to what you just said. And there's so many people who won't do it, Elliot, who won't just come out and, you know, tell the truth about politics. And I'll leave you with this. I know politicians, and I got to watch this because this may cause a little problem, but I got to say, I know a very prominent politician that was very prominent, that was bringing drugs into the community. And he was getting away with it because when he would come into the airport, he would not get checked. I know this for a fact because I know certain people. But the thing is this. There's a lot of politicians that know things that they don't speak out about it because they want to sustain their position. And the sad thing of the matter is, in all truthfulness, Elliot and Richard in the audience, that until you're willing to die for your position and give up your status, it's going to just be business as usual. Now, you'll have somebody like Maxine Waters, and I have to give her respect on this, who would run her mouth for a certain period of time until the daddy say no more. And once the daddy say no more, then they cut it out and they go on to something else. And that's what happens. And unfortunately, this is what's happening right now with this whole political situation that we're facing. We're at the point in our development as a people to, like you said, people who know the truth may be able to survive, who have placed themselves in the position to survive, are going to survive. But I say this, we are now under more of a threat to getting our heads busted upside by our own people than I think we've ever been since the crack epidemic, when you could walk out there and be out in the street in a certain time when the crack was hot and heavy and had to worry about getting robbed and going upside your head. Because, to be honest, that's the conditions that we're facing within the next 4 to 5 months in certain so-called black communities. But nobody wants to talk about it, and nobody wants to really address it. Because if you look at all public sectors and all public services within these so-called black communities, everything is being cut. Look at what's happening in your city. Look at what's happening in our city. Come after the election in November, services are going to be cut because they know ain't nobody going to be held accountable for it, and you're not going to really have to address it or say anything about it for another 2 years because ain't nobody going to be up for election in 2021. Somebody will be up for election in 2022, so they'll got up now.
You still there? I think you still there?
I think we still there. Why y'all got a white woman shutting us down, man?
I think we might have lost you.
Nah, I'm here.
Okay.
Is Elliot there and Richard?
Yeah.
Well, I really want for us to really understand what we as a people are facing that nobody's really talking about. And yeah, brothers like Fred Hampton Jr. and others, they doing the work. I'm doing the best that I can to be on top of my young folks. But the reality is, man, I'm gonna tell you like this. I've never felt that I've had to be more attuned to my surroundings and how I move since the crack epidemic. Because I see too many hungry people. Anytime somebody can knock on your door, and tell you, can you give them something to eat, man? Hey, bro, it's real out here. And they're not even talking about that. You're talking about middle-class white folks. Have you noticed the lines at food pantries and things of that nature, how food pantries are products and things of that nature are decimated? They're not talking about that. They're not talking about the whole situation to whereas, oh, they stop you from getting evicted until January, but that's the cold season, and then that moratorium is over, and here it is. Now you in a situation where you owe 8 and 9 months and things of that nature in rent, and I tell you that from being a landlord. So I know what that situation is. That's why anybody that I know that's in the real estate game, they all pay you. Those that got Section 8 vouchers that's getting paid by Section 8, they got smiles on their face. Those that are just in a situation that their tenants are not Section 8 or getting any type of subsidies, man, they hurting, man. But nobody tells the truth about that situation. So the reality is, come January, there's going to be a lot of people out in the street. And you know what's going on in Philadelphia. So you know what's happening in New York. So I don't know, man. I'm concerned. I ain't going to lie to you. And everybody is predicating our survival based on if this clown is not reelected. But nobody's thinking about or determining what they're going to do if he is reelected. So what are we all going to do? Shut down? I'm talking about those Negroes who are so caught up in the Democratic Party and voting and saying that this is our survival at stake and all of this. What they going to do in regards to their relationship with white folks when white folks put this devil back in the office? You going to cut all your white friends off at that point in time and see the white man as the devil that he is? What y'all think? I'll leave it at that.
I don't know. I can't answer for them. But thanks for your contribution as always, brother.
Love y'all brothers. I love y'all brothers like Wes say, man, like Research. He say he love y'all. I love y'all brothers. Hey, and listen, Richard.
Yes, sir.
I'm very disappointed in you tonight, Richard. You too quiet, man. The daddy ain't got you covered in the office tomorrow.
We're working on it.
Have a good night, my brothers.
Peace.
Peace now.
Richard, it's always good. Good conversation when we go to open four.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's definitely a learning process.
Come up to the end of another program. Before we leave, I want to give out the lineup on Time for an Awakening Media, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, African Perspectives with Brother Oshie. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. From 6 to 8, later that Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with hosts Dr. Maria Kamban and Sister Nataki Kamban. That's 8 to 9 on Black Therapy Central. And from 9 to 10 on the first and third Mondays of the month, Conversation Reparations, that's in Cobra's program. That's 9 to 10. On Tuesday from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday from 7 to 9 after 7 with host Shani B. On Friday, Time for Awakening is back from 8 to 10. On Saturday, Black Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. That's from 4 to 6 on Saturday afternoon. And later Saturday evening from 7 to 9, the Elders of Sankofa with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then Sunday, Time for Awakening is back from 7 until. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. A lively discussion as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country, watching your children playing after school. They seem to be so unaware. Oh, I know the thing that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turn to try and save the world. Right now they seem to play such a small part of.
To save the children.